I'm going to be talking about something this morning that very few people want to address in our society. You know, we have been raised with the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. And we want everybody to know that we have rights. We have women's rights. We have minority rights. We have now illegal alien rights. We have prisoners' rights. We have military personnel rights. We have rights here and rights there and rights everywhere. And what is the answer? Where do people say, well, our rights come from God, people tell us. Well, I have a right to pursue happiness. Doesn't that tell us that right in our own Declaration of Independence? Well, this is all a myth, and it's based upon a false premise. Because, first of all, we have absolutely no rights. We have no rights. The only entity in the universe that has any rights is God Himself. God is the Creator. We're the potter. Are we the potter? And He the clay? Is that what it says? I'm the potter and God's the clay? I mold Him and make Him as I want? No. And so, this whole premise that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights and that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness is a myth. It was propagated by people like Locke and other philosophers to try to intermingle humanism with theology. But the Bible tells us something very differently. Now, another question that I have for you is that are all men created equal? We know that all men are equally created. But the question is, are all men created equal? Well, there's some relevance to this discussion. We would all agree that all men are created equally in sin. We are all born and conceived in sin. The Bible tells us that. We're all as filthy rags. We're all gone out of the way. God is totally perfect, unrighteous, and just in all that He does. Now, the next question I have is, are all men created equal? Okay, are all men created equal? Well, first of all, when you start talking about equality and equal, we have to realize that all men are different. All men have different talents, different skills. Some men have tremendous intellect, and some men are born severely handicapped and severely retarded. Some men have limbs. Some men don't have hands and arms. Some men have ears. Some men don't have ears. Some men have great physiques. Other men are born crippled and maimed. So, when we say that all men are created equal, we have to put certain stipulations on this equality. We will agree that all men are equally created in a state of sin. That is the doctrine of original sin. Now, I have been maligned and criticized by many for my position on the doctrine of reprobation, which is clearly taught in the book of Romans. And I recently had a gentleman said, all of your messages are around your tulips, okay? Well, here's what, and he says, you appear to be very angry, only because I am going right back to the Bible and Christ's doctrine Himself as it relates to the doctrine of election and the doctrine of reprobation. The fact is that most of the people out there don't want to accept the doctrine. They get very angry when you start talking about the doctrine of election, because they are so taught in their educational systems and in their churches the doctrine of this, all men are created equal and they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and so on. Now, if you do a word study, let's look in the... it's always important to understand concepts and the words that we're talking about. A lot of times they'll use the word unalienable, which is really inalienable. But look up the word inalienable in your dictionary. Okay, now we're here on July the 4th, and everybody's wanting to shoot off their fireworks to proclaim their independence and their liberty. And everybody, you know, wants liberty. There's a scripture that says they promised them liberty. Well, there's liberty in law, okay? There's not liberty in equality of rights. There's not liberty in rebellion against the government. There's not liberty in rebellion against our Maker. Our Maker is the law. He is perfect. In Him is all righteousness and justice and holiness. Now, let's look at this word inalienable. I'm going to read this to you, and maybe you'll find this interesting here. If you look up the word inalienable, it says, incapable of being surrendered or transferred. Rights that are incapable of being surrendered or transferred. Now that, to me, is an ultimate Arminian statement. Okay? Because, first of all, the presupposition is incorrect. If we are born with no rights, then we cannot attribute to having something that we don't have. And therefore, the free will of man comes into play because... now, look, here's the situation. God has not given us rights. God has not given us rights. He has created us, and we are under the authority of God Almighty. He has demanded that we obey His law, and that we obey it perfectly. And if we don't, the perfect justice of God will come down upon us and will cause us to be in a state of it will bring the judgment of God upon us. That's why Jesus Christ came. I was accused by a gentleman of not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ, which was an outright lie. I do teach the cross of Christ. That is why Christ came for His people, to save His people from their sins. We could not save ourselves. God's perfect justice was met at the cross of Calvary when He shed His precious blood on the cross. And so this whole idea that all men are born in a state of equality and they're all created equal, gives a false premise that man is able to do something, okay, to merit God's favor. If he has certain rights, he also, if he's born with certain rights, he has certain demands that he can put on his Creator, that he can demand of his Creator. Now, I know people get tired of me going back to the 9th chapter of Romans, but this is very clear. Now, you know, God, like I said, is not chargeable with any sin. He's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly just. And in His perfect righteousness and in His perfect justice, He has a right to do with His creation as He sees fit. And that's where we stop. Now, a lot of people get very upset with that. You know, what gives God the right? You know, are God's ways unequal? Is God a respecter of persons? Is God unrighteous? Is God the author of sin when you say that He is the potter and that we are the clay? No, God is not the author of sin. God has the right to create vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. which are fitted for destruction, according to the 9th chapter of Romans. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's a hard saying, I don't understand it. Look, I don't understand it either, but it's the Bible. And God's compassion and His long-suffering and His mercy is beyond the realm of our explanation. But also God's sovereignty and His glory and His power is beyond the realm of our explanation as well. Let's go back to the 9th chapter of Romans. Now, what we're talking about here is equality. All men are created equal, they say. Well, we have set forth the biblical doctrine that all men are equally created in a state of sin because of the fall, because of Adam. But we have denounced the misnomer that all men are created equal in all areas. All men are not created equal in their intelligence. All men are not created equal in their perceptions. All men are not created equal in their physique. All men are not created equal in many, many ways. And so for us to set forth this universal notion that all men are created equal, you have to put stipulations on that. And as well, you have to put stipulations on this idea that is a false presupposition that men have inalienable rights that cannot be surrendered. Okay? Now, a good example of that would be Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he certainly thought he had his rights under the law of that he was brought up in, under the Pharisaical law, that he had rights, and God knocked him off of his doctrinal constructs on the ground and said, and blinded him, and he said, Lord, what would thou hast me to do? He found himself surrendering his rights to an almighty God. And it wasn't Paul's free will that surrendered his rights either. It was the miraculous, powerful, sovereign grace of God that worked in his heart. It's called irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. Now, let's go to the 9th chapter of Romans. And we're going to talk about we're talking about this on July the 4th when everybody's shooting off their firecrackers and talking about their rights and their liberties and how that we're in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, we might think we're free, but we're born and conceived in a state of sin. And the only liberty that we can have is in Christ, who has bought our liberty for God's people. Not for all. Now, here he's talking here about, and it says all men are, the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. Well, this is a little bit different rendition if you go back to the Bible in the 11th verse of the 9th chapter of Romans, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Does that sound like all men being born and created equal there? You're saying, well, you're making God unequal. You know, go back to the Arminians want to use that verse back there in Ezekiel. And let's go back there for a minute, the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. And it says, the way of the Lord, verse 25, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity they have done, shall he die? when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. And then, of course, their favorite verse. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. That's the free willers' favorite passage of Scripture to try to promote the Arminian heresy. Well, this whole chapter in the 18th verse is the prophet speaking to the house of Israel and saying, why will you die? It's the prophet saying is calling for the wicked to return unto the Lord, to turn from their sins, to repent of their sins. And so we know that we are not to walk in sin if we are one of God's children. But this is a now let's go back to the a couple other things. I want to look back to the 9th chapter of Romans again. Let's see what Paul says about this whole situation. He says, it was said unto her, the elders shall serve their younger, and as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God has the right to not show his grace to all of his creation, and he has the right to create one vessel unto honor and one to dishonor, and he is perfectly righteous and just in doing so. Because now what happens is when we proclaim that sovereignty, then people start asking the question, just like Paul asked right here in verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Okay? There is no rights with man. If God's creation don't experience his mercy and his grace and his love, they will be forever in their sins and judged accordingly. Okay, now he says, for then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So, back there when Ezekiel is telling that God doesn't desire the death of the wicked, it's the same thing in Peter, where he says God is not willing that any should perish eastward. Speaking there of his people. We know that it is not God's will that any should perish of his people, because he tells us that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. He also tells us that all that the Father has given me will come to me, and those that come to me will in no wise perish. Okay? Will not perish. Now we go on here in the 9th chapter of Romans. So he says, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Apart from the mercy of God, we're doomed, my friend. Apart from his love, apart from his shed blood on the cross for us at Calvary, apart from his choosing us from the foundation of the world. We want to talk about our rights. We want to talk about the fact that we have inalienable rights. And it's a myth. Okay? We have no rights. The only thing that we're looking for here is we're looking for mercy. We're looking for compassion. We're looking for the sovereign grace of God. Now he says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Well, here we go again. This has nothing to do with the rights of man. inalienable rights of man. This has to do with God's choosing and God's choices. And he reiterates again, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Okay? You are under the sovereign act of God Almighty, the decree of God as to whether you will have spiritual life or whether you will have you will go on in your sins and be held accountable for your sins, or God will not impute your sins to you. One or the other. You can't have it both ways. He says, thou wilt say unto me, then why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? Trying to go back to the free will of man again. Trying to put an Arminian slant on this thing. But what was the answer to that? Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You know, I have certain inalienable rights, the right to life and the pursuit of happiness and my own lifestyle and how I live and where I live and how all of this. No, you have no rights. In fact, even the bounds of your habitation are under the authority and auspices of Almighty God. Now, if you're listening and you're getting angry and you're saying that I'm off on my old cold hard doctrine, no, I'm just reading from Scripture. And maybe you should examine why you're getting so offended by the Word of God. And you want to go back into your fables. You want to go back into your storytelling. You want to go back into your eyes filling up with tears because of Larry's hard doctrine. No, it's not Larry's hard doctrine. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's why he came into the world. He knew that we were born and conceived in sin, and the solution for his people was to die on a cruel and rugged cross, to shed his precious blood on that cross, and not so that we might have liberty, so that all of God's children would effectually and finally be saved from their sin. Now, going on, he says, nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power, or doesn't God have the right over his clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? To make them that way. Oh, you say, but all men are created equal. Really? Really? Well, here we're seeing the question that's being asked by Paul is, doesn't man have the right? Doesn't God have the right, not man? God have the right? Doesn't he have the power? He not only has the power, but he has the right to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You know, God has endured all of his this fallen race and been long suffering in ways that we can't even imagine, and that we've experienced mercy. Even God's reprobate experiences a certain degree of mercy. Now, God's reprobate do not experience grace. There's no such thing as common grace. But the reprobate experience a certain degree of grace because of the mercy that God shows to his elect. For an example, he rains on the just and the unjust. But as it relates to redemptive grace, the reprobate don't experience redemptive grace. Only God's elect, only God's people experience the sovereign redemptive grace of God. He says, hath not the potter or the right? Hath not the potter the power or the right over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel in honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath for the destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Well, you say all men are created equal. No, not all men, not all men were prepared aforetime unto glory. Only God's elect were prepared aforetime unto glory. And you know, that's just the truth of the Word of God. If you don't like it, you're stumbling at the Word of God. Now, he says, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but all the Gentiles. God is no respecter of persons. People say, well, that would make God a respecter of persons. No. God has chosen people out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every nation. And but he hasn't chosen everyone. Okay, now he says, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now my question is, as it relates to this Declaration of Independence myth that's out there, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, were all men equally called the sons of God? Well, no, they weren't. He goes on and says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, God's people, though the number of the children as the sand of the sea, there is a remnant that shall be saved. A remnant, not all. Not all men are created equal in the disbursement of God's sovereign grace. And that doesn't make those that are any better than those that aren't. It's only because of God's mercy. It has nothing to do with their intellect. It has nothing to do with their free will. It has nothing to do with their decision. It had to do with God's decision before they were even born. For he will finish the work. He will finish the work. So in other words, the Lord will execute his word upon the earth. He will finish. He has already completed the redemptive work for all of his chosen people before he was slain from the foundation of the world. But he was manifested to us in these last times through his Son Jesus Christ. And for God's people, we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ because of his work on the cross. And because of his resurrection, we have hope for eternal life. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us as a seed, we would have been in Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. That doesn't sound like all men are created equal to me. I mean, we are a special people, a peculiar people. You know, not that we have any merits in that, but we have been so given the awesome sovereign grace of God that we should be joyous over that fact. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness obtained a righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Jesus Christ is our only hope. And believing in the merits of his shed blood on the cross, believing this ninth chapter of Romans, that we are trusting in the sovereign grace of God. Wherefore, beloved, they sought it not by faith. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. It is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you believing on the shed blood of Jesus Christ this morning? Are you believing the whole counsel of God? Do you believe that you have inalienable rights that cannot be surrendered? My friend, God can cause, will cause, all of His elect to, there's that song, I surrender all. The only way you will surrender all, my friend, is if the sovereign grace of God works a grace in your heart and regenerates your heart, causes you to be born again, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray that You would take it and use it. We pray that You would help us to examine the myths of this all men are created equal. And we know that all men are created equal under sin. But we know that You have chosen for Yourself a peculiar people to show forth Your marvelous grace. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that You would help us to examine that we only have liberty in Your Son, Jesus Christ, on this July the 4th. We ask in Christ's name and for Your glory alone. Amen.